that the believer has in Christ, only in Christ. Everything God has for sinners is in Christ, nowhere else. Not in creeds, not in doctrines, not in popes, not in Joseph Smiths, not in preachers, pastors. But everything he has for a sinner is found in Christ. He has all, God has all of his eggs in one basket, so to speak. That, if you find Christ, you've found it all. Lamentations chapter 3 and one verse, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion. That word in the Hebrew is allotment. And we're going to look at that. Numbers chapter 18. Turn to Numbers chapter 18. Verse 20. Numbers 18, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am, says God, thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. I am Aaron the high priest. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. You remember when the Israelites were going to go over into Canaan, that he was divvying all the lands to the different tribes. But the tribe of Levi, they didn't get any land. They didn't get any land. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 9. Wherefore Levi, he's the tribe, the Levites, the high priests, where the priests came from, hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. You're not going to get anything. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, verses 1 and 2. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. And verse 14. Joshua 13, verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. This is Joshua speaking of Moses and the Lord. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. You don't get any land. You get no possession. No possession. And in verse 33 of the same chapter, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not an inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. And verse 28. Verse 28 of Ezekiel 44. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, says the Lord. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. I am their possession. Psalm 16. Psalms 16 and verse 5. Psalms 16 verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Now this is David speaking. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. God's mine. That's what he's saying. Thou maintainest. And I was just going to go to another verse, but I was fascinated by this last phrase. Maintainest. That in the Hebrew means sustains or to keep fast. The Lord keeps fast. The Lord sustains my lot. That lot, that word lot means destiny. Now, destiny, that's a big word. That's everything about you. That's fate. There's no such thing in the word as chance. There's no such thing as luck. That's not language believers use, because that's kind of saying that God's not in control. Everything just kind of happens to this person. It doesn't happen. Everything is under God's control. The universe, it's not according to man's will or wants to. It's the Lord that has mercy. That's what we mean when we say sovereign. God is in control of everything. Everything. Matter of fact, he says, not a sparrow even falls to the ground without the Father knowing it. Knowing it. In our life now on earth, in our life in heaven, he sustains. He completely sustains. And then we won't have to turn there, but if in Genesis 15, God's talking to Abram at this point, and he says, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your reward. Now that's just all this, the gospel, the good news of the grace of God flies in the face of modern religion back in Spurgeon's time, back in John Bunyan's time, religion, you know, in Christ's time. Who killed Christ? The most religious folks. So usually when you're going to get opposition to the gospel of God's grace, it's religious people. Well, I got a free will. I can do this. I can choose. You know, Christ says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So this just throws it right out the window. Paul says, I am what I am by my will, by my luck, by what I've worked hard my whole life. No, I am what I am by the grace of God. Grace is unmerited, unasked for favor. It's just basic Bible doctrine. But it's just, that's why in the book of Acts, it's nothing new. In the book of Acts, Paul says, well, I'm going to preach this unknown God. And they said, well, we're going to hear what this babbler's got to say. Some new doctrine. Sorry, the gospel of the grace of God is the everlasting gospel. It's nothing new. It's been around a lot longer than our puny schemes or our puny minds can even comprehend. But he said, after he got done, it wasn't the slaughter of the kings, but he was defending, I guess he was getting his brother Lot. But in Abram, he says, God says, I'm your reward. He says, fear not. I'm your reward. And that this fear, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of what's going to happen with this government. It's all, don't worry, don't fear, don't fear. Don't fear. God is our reward through Christ. Because of what Christ has done on behalf of his people, he's our reward. But we've looked at all these verses to simply say this. Just got a singular point. God is our portion. If you don't have a house, and I know this country, everybody has have home ownership. If you don't have a house, it doesn't matter. If you live in an apartment, if you live in a trailer, if you're renting, we're just passing through anyway. We take our problem is we see stuff, and the flesh has got to get it. We got to put anchors down. This is not our home. And the more we put our anchors down, the more the Lord will deal with us as he deals with children, as we deal with our children, discipline, chastisement. We do it in love. God never punishes his people because he's punished us in Christ. He's punished our sins in Christ. And he's only did that once. So I ask you, and I ask myself as I was writing this down, will not our God, the identical God of the one spoken, because he doesn't change, he's immutable, that's one of his main characteristics. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I do not change. We change. The weather changes. The governments change. Man changes. God does not change. He's always the same. So if he is our portion, if he was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, I don't know if anybody had it quite as tough as him. David had it tough, but this man was just constantly badgered and hounded over the truth that he preached. If this man can say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I've got hope in him, that's where we need to place our hope. Turn the TV off. Fold up the newspapers. Stay informed if you want to, but don't let it get under your skin. As I constantly say, we got to quit looking this way, horizontal, and look vertical. He is totally in charge. So will not our God, the identical God as in the passages of the ones I've read, he's full of mercy and grace, will he not do the same for each one here today that calls upon him or has called upon him or may call upon him, if you do not know him yet, call upon him in mercy and in truth? Because I say we doubt our sovereign master way too frequently. We do. We doubt him more than we should. I'm going to close this book. I'm just like you. I'm going to go home and probably start worrying about something. No. God is on the throne. He's on the throne. May we, as James said, may we have patience, have her perfect work in James chapter 1. May patience have her perfect work. Let us ask our dear Redeemer for grace in time of need, like he says in Hebrews, to trust him always, to walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, we refer to the Levites. They were the high priest, the tribe of the priest, priestly tribe. Are we not, in Revelations, kings and priests? Every believer is a king and a priest unto our God. Not just the men, but women, if you believe Christ, we're all believers. We've all been given gifts. Are we not all kings and priests unto our God? Revelation is verse 1, 4 through 6, if you want to look at it. He establishes the fact that we are. He has made us unto our God. He has made, not we didn't do it. He has made us unto our God kings and priests. Now, there's a few points I have concerning the Lord is our portion. He is our portion, and believe it or not, we are his portion. Now let me say that again. He is everything to us. But we, as his children, are everything to him. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. For just one verse, one passage. I don't need more, but I could go quite a few places. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and look with me at verse 9. It's the same word. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, for the Lord's portion. Now he's speaking about the Lord's portion. Look at this. Is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Do we really have all things in Christ? Does God govern or is he governed? That's the question. Do we have something on God, or does God totally govern all things? This universe, and whatever the Hubble telescope finds, he controls that too. There's nothing out of his majesty. the song we sing, Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow. It does. It does. So that's what I want us, this is the first point. He is our portion and we are his portion. His pity, his compassion, his love was so great towards all his elect children that he gave himself to the smiters. He opened not his mouth in defense of himself and allowed vile men to nail him to a cross. Yes, he allowed it. Yes, that was, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Did it all take him by surprise that he came and lived the perfect life for his people? In this instance, they're called Jacob. They're called Israel as a type or picture of the elect of God throughout all ages. No. No. Did the fall take him by surprise? No. No, it didn't. If the fall didn't happen, there would be no need for redemption. We, as Scripture says, we would, of all men, most miserable. You know, why do we even gather together? We gather together because the Lord is our portion, and therefore we hope in Him. And the hope that's used in the Scriptures is different than the hope that we use today. It's like, oh, I hope what's-his-name shows up, and I hope this happens. That's not what the biblical definition of hope. The hope in the Bible is confident expectation. Nothing more could have shown such supreme love and also thereby satisfied our desires towards Him than what He did for His people. Than what He did for His people at Calvary. Let me read you something by an old writer. Oh, what a portion is God. All that He is and all that He has is ours. Every attribute of His being is over us. Every perfection of His nature encircles us. Every pulse of His heart beats for us. Every glance of His eye smiles upon us. We dwell in God, and God dwells in us. It is not the world which is our portion, but He who made and upholds and governs the world. It is not the creature who is our portion, but the Lord of angels and the Creator of men. See, we need to look bigger. We need to look bigger. God, Jehovah God, the great I Am, Emmanuel, is our portion. And we will fuss and fight over these little toys that we get. I got thinking about that. You know, somebody steals that. You know, you go up St. Louis, you go somewhere where, you know, in the city where things aren't perhaps as nice as they are in the country. Somebody steals, you know, yes, we get upset, but it's like, why? I'm just borrowing it. It's not really mine. That's why the old writers used to say, we need to hold things of this world with a loose hand. Like a loose hand. Their grandbaby visited us this weekend, and he's getting stronger grip, but, you know, he just pulled it from his hands. That's how we need to hold on to the things of this world. If they're not really ours. And of course, God is for us in the person of Jesus Christ. What a blessed portion is our kinsman redeemer. One writer wrote, a divine Christ, a redeeming Christ, a full Christ, a sympathizing, ever-present, ever-precious, ever-loving Christ. Now, I've got, and I'm just going to read you these, because I've got 30. Now, if you want the Scriptures, this would be a really good study. By way of mentioning a few lovelies, as I call them, regarding God being our portion. Who God is, what He's done for us, that's for us. That's for the believer. And only the believer. Unbelievers have no portion here. But let me give you 30 characteristics of our Lord God and Christ as being our portion. The Lord our husband. The Lord our brother. The Lord our help. The Lord our hope. The Lord our refiner. The Lord our healer. deliverer, master, servant, teacher, example, burden bearer, shepherd, restorer, our light, our keeper, our caregiver, provider, our rest, our bishop, our leader, our food, our drink, our savior, peace, joy, song, our creditor, our expectation, and last but not least, the Lord, our all and in all. Now that last one, our all and in all, what does that include? Let me put it this way. What doesn't it include? What doesn't it include? These, and I've got scriptures for every one of them, and like I say, it would be really good study to look at every one of these. Now let me close by saying this. That God is and ever will be the all-sufficient happiness of His people. And they depend upon Him to be such, because He's our portion. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. When I have lost all I have in this world, lost my liberty, my livelihood, and perhaps almost my life itself, yet we have not lost our interest in God. Portions on earth are perishing things, but God is portion forever. Lynn and I were talking about this, and it's happening more frequently, but when the power goes out, well, I got a generator. Okay, that's good. How much gas you got? When that gas runs out, then the generator stops, and the refrigerator, and food. Food. We depend on refrigeration. These portions are like the flower in a field. He says that's what man is like. He's here today, gone tomorrow. He perishes. The Lord blows a hot wind on it, it wilts. Cut flowers, they look pretty for a while, and then they wilt. But God, if God is your portion, that's forever. While I have an interest in God, therein I have enough. I have that which is sufficient to counterbalance all my troubles and make up all my losses. Whatever we are robbed of, our portion is safe. Remember what Christ said? Don't fear the people who can kill your body, because they can't touch your soul. Now turn with me in closing to Genesis, and I love this passage, Genesis 30:33. You remember the story when Jacob was getting ready to meet Esau, and he was afraid of him. Because he stole the birthright. He did what God had ordained, but he didn't know how it'd play out. So he's sending all these gifts and all these things to try to, he's thinking Esau's still upset with them. He's not upset with them, but he thought he was. So he's sending all these gifts and trying to appease them. And then Esau says in verse 8 of chapter 33, he said, "What meanest thou by all this thy drove which I met?" And Jacob says, "And these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." So this is what the unbelieving Esau says. I have enough. This is the man of the world. The Lord, he doesn't know the Lord's blessed him in material things, not in spiritual things. He's not got enough. Now look at what Jacob says in verse 11. He says, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Now, they use the same two words in the English, but in the Hebrew, they're two vastly different words. Esau is like, "I have enough. I don't need any more. I'm full." But this word is a different Hebrew word in the Hebrew. It's not the same word at all. When Jacob, the believer, says, I have enough, he's saying, I have all. And we do have all. Because why? Because the Lord is the believer's portion. Now and through all eternity. Like Jacob of old, we have enough. Or as the original states, we have all things. Why? Because we, by sovereign free grace, possess Christ. Or I could say, because Christ possesses us. Amen and amen. May it sink in. These things are nice, but we don't need them. What we need is what Mary. He says, Martha, Mary has chosen. That's the one thing needful, is Christ. May he honor and bless the reading and preaching of his word. Bruce, would you close us?